how do you address those skeptics?
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Sorry.
But he's gay. I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind. So we'll hear about that.
Okay. Dana is off tonight. He was murdered and then set on fire while celebrating his birthday.
I can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Well, I receive nothing for putting nothing in. It seemed a just rewarding truth.
Once again, I'm here doing a post pickup recording as my intro for the show. Maybe that's going to be the theme of this. You know, a lot of podcasts do this. Famously WTF by Mark Maron. Hey, that's one of the best podcasts around, right? So why can't I do this? So this episode took us an extra week to get recorded. I mentioned it in the show. I mentioned it in other places as well. Congratulations, Jamesy. Wish you could have been on the podcast, but either way, it's fantastic that you got the new baby. I just know how proud and happy you are. How happy I am for you. So I was able to sit down with Alan 4L from the DKP and Fighting Spirit Magazine and Sarah from Twitter, I guess, at this point. No longer doing reviews over at Voices of Wrestling, which is a shame because I did like her reviews. Talk about OTT, one of my current favorite promotions. A big time part of why I love them is because of everything that they do with Pete Dunne. We get into it here, talking about what they did with Pete Dunne, being one of the first places to let him kind of shine as a main guy, top of the card kind of guy, even with, you know, his own company, Attack Pro Wrestling. He had done it before, but the first place where it was someone outside of himself trusting him to be the top guy. So get into that, get into what it's like going to the shows. It's an interesting topic, an interesting concept, and really what this podcast is all about. I was talking with a friend just the other day. They really limit how comfortable we feel interacting with other people now. And in some ways, you know, I'm not going to get into the shadow government, and not the one that has the Hales Clan, but the real shadow government. About if maybe they do that on purpose because they know that we're weaker when we're divided. So get out there, get to wrestling shows, and talk to other people about wrestling shows, and just interact with other people, because I think humans really crave interaction with other people. You know, I get to spend this hour interacting with some people that I really respect and enjoy the opinion of. And it's good to get out there and just talk to someone and have some kind of connection out there. And, you know, speaking of that, if you do want to have some kind of connection, feel free to always reach out to me and talk, and I'm always open. DMs are open on Twitter, but I'm always open to communicate and anywhere. So if you want to talk, just feel free to drop me a line. And, either way, go ahead and enjoy listening to me and my talk here with someone I really appreciate their work. Both Alan and Sarah really appreciate what they do out there. We talk about a wrestling company that we all seem to really enjoy. Thanks everybody for listening. Today I'm joined, as I've hinted at the past couple weeks, doing a new episode going international instantly, and today I'm joined as I talk about OTT with Alan and Sarah. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are doing well, Tim. I'm doing well. Are you doing well?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent. You're apparently both doing well.
That's fantastic. That's all we can help. Bit of a bummer. Originally, Jamesy was supposed to be on here, but what with the baby, congratulations to him on the new baby. It's a lot more exciting than talking about wrestling for an hour here, I guess. But I will definitely plan to have him on. What was that?
Jamesy might disagree.
Yeah, I think it's
already worn off.
Yeah,
might have wore off with the first child.
That's true. This is the second go around, so it might not be as big of a deal for him. And then I guess the other thing that I just want to get off my chest before we start to ease any awkwardness is that, Alan, I'm a huge fan of yours. I have been for a long time. I think for my Observer Valet last year, I had you number two as my commentator of the year. So I'm like,
that's ridiculous. Wow. Tim, this is a disgraceful thing to put on your Observer Valet.
I think the only person I had above you was Brad Stutz, and you know, just because I really enjoy your work, man. So I just want to say that I love the podcast, I love your commentary on WXW. So if I come across like a bit of a fanboy, that's why.
I am more than happy to take second place to Brad Stutz, who is a great man, who I'm trying really hard not to do a Stutzy impression right now. I haven't tested it out, so I don't want to debut it on air in case it's terrible.
Yeah, right. We'll save that for after you work it out a little bit. You can maybe bring it out on 16 karat or something.
I have thrown in some not so much impressions, but Stutzy-isms on commentary since I started watching CWF Mid-Atlantic. I've definitely had a few. I've definitely been influenced by Stutzy with my commentary.
But I guess the topic at hand here is OTT, and I did want to somewhat get into the background of indies in Ireland, and I did get a little birdie, the aforementioned Jamesy, told me that I definitely needed to talk to Sarah specifically about Irish Whip and your involvement kind of going to shows with them. So kind of what's the background for both of you when it comes to indie wrestling in Ireland and specific experiences kind of before OTT started?
Oh, well, Irish Whip Wrestling used to run down my part of Ireland, which is Waterford, down the south. It was probably one of their bigger towns that they ran. They ran Dublin too, and some other. Where did they run Dublin?
They would run kind of random spots around. I went to a show once. I was only ever at two Irish Whip shows. One was in Sarah's neck of the woods in Waterford, which was kind of one of their bigger venues. And then once was in a GA hall near me here in Dublin, which I don't know if it was the only time they ran there or if it was a regular one. I just went because they had a few Dragon Gate wrestlers and El Generico. So, yeah, I was not exactly Mr. Irish Indie Wrestling Scene, but Mrs. Irish Indie Wrestling Scene is beside me. So, yeah, she can tell you a lot more about it.
I guess it was probably 2000, and I'm going to probably about it years, but around 2004. To 2007, they were running quite regularly down in Waterford in a nightclub called The Forum. And it was pretty kind of similar to the OTT setup. I mean, it wasn't as crazy. There was a lot more kids there. It was...
What attendance were you talking about? 600? 700?
No. 3-4?
Okay.
3-400 people, which was quite good for a small city like Waterford. They brought over some big names as well. As Alan mentioned, El Generico and the Dragon Gate guys. Drew McIntyre, or Drew Galloway.
Yeah,
he was a stable. He was champion for a while, and Sheamus was a champion for a while.
Wade Barrett
was over. It was mainly those three were the kind of the top stars of it back then.
And there was, as well as Irish Whip, there was Fergal Devitt's NWA Ireland, which is mainly a training school, but also they ran shows quite regularly in Bray, just outside of Dublin, and that didn't really get the pub that Irish Whip did at all, really. Irish Whip had the TV show on the wrestling channel. NWA Ireland didn't really have anything like that. But they were very much linked to NWA UK Hammerlock, which guys like Johnny Moss, Andre Baker, Zack Sabre Jr. So there was, I think, the NWA Ireland guys had some better connections for making it out of Ireland versus Irish Whip, which was more kind of, I don't think they were building relationships as much as they were just building their own thing, and they kind of burnt out. And I think the presence of NWA Ireland has kind of evolved into a lot of what we have in OTT today, although there is kind of elements of Irish Whip that are still around in OTT. I was never really into the scene myself. I was more about going over to England and going to see Noah shows and
shameful
and going to see Dragon Gate shows in England. So yeah, I was never Mr. Irish Indie Wrestling at all.
Yeah, that was one thing from someone who just kind of listened to your podcast and would read some of the stuff that you'd write there. I always, because I'm American and terrible at geography, would get confused if you were from Ireland or from the UK, because you seem to talk so much about the UK scene more than the Irish scene. Not that there was much to talk about in Ireland at the time.
Yeah, there
really was nothing for probably 2006 until we started.
Yeah, it was
October 2014.
October 2014.
Pretty much nothing for 7 years.
Yeah,
or more.
And
nothing of note anyway.
Nothing of note. Yeah, and it was to the point when OTT started. It was like, okay, well, this looks interesting. They're running the big thing was with OTT, and we can get into more specifics on this, is that in running Dublin, they were the first ones to run a central Dublin city venue. It's kind of like the whole thing with Progress in London and how no one wanted to take on trying to run London because it's so expensive, obviously, and there's so much competition with so much other things to do. So whenever there was wrestling in Dublin, it was, like I said, in around like just very much the outskirts in these small little GAA halls and in industrial parks and just really out of the way locations. And the venue where OTT has been, its home base, the Tivoli, is right slap bang in the city centre. It's ideal. It's perfect. It's easy to get to from public transport. It's right near the heart of the city. And there had been nothing like that. And just the fact the venue itself was an intrigue at the start. Just they'd be running there and you'd be like, okay, this is a shot, because a lot of people are going to just get sort of some... If this picks up some steam on social media and stuff, a lot of people are going to go want to check this out because it's convenient. And it was pushed as an over 18s thing, so it wouldn't have the... There's kind of like... There would have been a stigma to go to a wrestling show in Ireland in these kind of, again, like GA halls in the outskirts of the city, where it's just going to be filled with kids who are buying Rey Mysterio masks, or should I say fake Rey Mysterio masks, which would have been known over here as... Rey Mysterio masks! Get your Rey Mysterio masks! And you get all these kids buying them. Sarah has her head in her hands right now. all these kids buying them. Very much kind of kid-friendly shows. And the idea of an over-18 show in the city, I think, was a big draw for people. It certainly had me intrigued anyway.
Yeah, and when it first started out, it was, I mean, I guess the Gymnasties weren't on the first show, but I remember them being one of the first kind of characters that stood out to me when I started hearing about OTT and checking it out. And it does come across like a little bit over the top and cartoony, but also, as you said, more adult oriented. Did it feel in the beginning, I mean, I don't know, were you guys going to the first shows when it first started out?
Yeah, we've been to nearly every show.
Yeah, I've missed two. You've missed
about two as well.
Two, yeah. So yeah, we were there for the first one. The first one, they got an okay crowd. They did a better crowd than I was expecting. Nowhere near the numbers that they do now, but there was, what, was it 250 there?
I'd say, yeah, 250.
250 there.
And I mean, so you had talked about Irish Whip earlier, saying that there was kids and the Rey Mysterio masks and all that.
Yeah.
When OTT started, did it really feel like, okay, this is going to be adult-oriented in the content as well? Was that kind of the vibe you were getting?
Yeah, definitely. They had a promo video they put up on YouTube to kind of plug the first show. That was a play on a guy in his, I guess, late 20s wanting to go to a wrestling show and trying to explain to the taxi driver, and the taxi driver, like, taking the piss out of him before going to wrestling and stuff. But they really played off of how... I guess it's embarrassing to be a wrestling fan, and other kind of, it played off that. And
and just basically said they weren't going to be the things that you'd be embarrassed about being a wrestling fan. It would be cool, it would be hip, it would be over 18s, it would be in a hip venue. And
they used fuck PG, which is kind of cringy, but it was really pushed as this is fuck PG wrestling kind of.
Yeah, it was a cringy slogan, but I think, to be honest, it was probably a slogan that worked as far as establishing an identity early in and drawing people who, there honestly really is a fairly decent fan base. I don't know if you'd call it a lax fan base or a more slightly removed fan base from the Attitude Era, because during the Attitude Era, wrestling was huge over here.
Yeah,
like,
was
there was
so big.
I remember there was a point, I'll always point to this, I would say it was sometime late 98, early 99, when I was in second year in school, which would be sort of 14, 15 year olds, and there was 100 kids in my year, and at one point there was a week where wrestling was so big that the whole year of 100 kids had divided up into factions. Like, wrestling factions were created. I think the actual factions as well, like DX and the Corporation and all. Yeah, there was the guys that decided they were the Corporation, and there was another group that had decided they were the Ministry of Darkness and all that.
Clearly an all-boys school.
Yeah, it was an all-boys school. But like every single one nearly of 100 lads were accounted for in a stable. And I was like, it just kind of, I was like, wow, wrestling is, it's all anyone's into right now. It was such a big thing. And I think a lot of like those fans, as with anywhere in the world, didn't really carry through over the next like, kind of 10 years or whatever. But there is very much a, there is a feeling of, oh, wrestling like it used to be before it was fucking PG, that was cool. And then when it, there was something promoted kind of along those lines, I think it drew out a lot of people who probably wouldn't have really paid much attention to anything that was wrestling wise. And they did a lot of things to re-educate those fans then over the next year or two, to make it not just be a better thing where it was, oh, come see a guy hit each other, guys hit each other with weapons and curse and stuff like that. Because they kind of drew people in with the premise of that. It never really was that, but I think that's what drew people, the thought of that. And then what they did, which was so smart, and I talked to the promoter about this on probably, I'd say 6 months in or so, he was talking about how he specifically used the guys from Attack Pro Wrestling, which is the Pete Dunne crew, Pete Dunne, Ryan Smile, Chris Brooks, Flash Morgan Webster, that crew. He specifically went with those lads as the kind of imports from Britain, because he felt those lads are really solid, really good wrestlers who he could use those guys as his way of kind of educating these sort of lapsed fans into what awesome, really good, hard-hitting athletic wrestling is nowadays. And they were the right guys for the job, and it really has kind of, it's kind of come full circle with Pete versus Ryan being on that first show, and then Pete versus Ryan being a main event for the title on the last show, in a, where both guys felt like superstars in front of, I would say, four times the amount of people nearly that were at the first show. So it's quite the deal.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of been interesting over the past couple of years. A lot of promotions, not just OTT, but I mean, you could say Attack, you could say Fight Club, and even Progress. The big story has been, I mean, I guess RPW in some ways as well. The big story has been the progression of Pete Dunne. And so I just wanted to like maybe talk about that in OTT, talk about retraining the audience. The audience didn't really take to Pete Dunne early on. I mean, I think they were appreciative of him, but do you think it was planned? As you said, you talked to the promoter 6 months, or did it feel more authentic the way the crowd kind of was drawn to him, first hating him and then kind of learning to love him and really appreciate his work?
Yeah, I think they gave him the moniker. What was it, Sarah? Was it Unbeatable or Indestructible or something like that?
Yeah,
unstoppable. Yeah, he was unstoppable, Pete Dunne, and he won like every time he was there. Every single time, he was always going to be against another. He was rarely against any of the like the character type guys that they were having on the rest of the card. He was always against like a straight up wrestler, like a Ryan Smile or like Mark Andrews when they brought him in originally, and a Jigsaw, guys like that. And Pete just kept winning, kept running through guys, and then eventually they had him win the title, the NLW title, from Luther Ward, who was the head of the Ward family, which the Wards were kind of the big character group that were the face of OTT for, I'd say, the first year or so. Luther Ward is, of course, Joe Cabre, the promoter. So Pete won the title, and it was, the fans really started seeing him as a big deal and a top heel. And it was Pete's first chance in his career to really get a run as a main event player in a promotion that wasn't his own promotion, in Attack. He hadn't been given a chance by Progress yet. He hadn't been given a chance by Rev Pro yet. He just really hadn't been given a shot. And OTT was the first place to give him a shot. Joe had that kind of faith in Pete, and Pete repaid it 10 times over. And the crowd just really got into him over the months and the year and 2 years that went by. He just did a really great job progressing as a wrestler. And then last year, when he caught fire in other places like Rev Pro, Progress, PWG, that just made him an even bigger star coming back to OTT. It was like the returning. He never really missed shows or anything like that in OTT, but it was kind of did feel like the.
He got the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, it was when he came back. it really felt like kind of the returning hero coming home, even though he never really did a big face turn. It was very much more subtle. He had lost the belt to Luther Ward. He lost it back to him. Then he won it back from him a few months later. And it was a real changing of the guard type thing. There was a fist bump at the end. And then Pete kind of went on his way. He beat Zack Sabre Jr. in a really great match last year. And at it was like nearly a year ago. At the end of the match, Zack was leaving and Pete went out after him and stopped him in the aisle and then bowed to him. And then it was like the first time like Pete had ever shown humility. And it was, it's been really, I would say, one of, if not the top story in OTT, is just seeing how Pete has progressed. And Pete would say himself that OTT was a huge, gigantic part of making him the wrestler, the complete wrestler that he is today.
Well, it's funny you mention that story, especially with Zack, because, I mean, without the kind of subtle crowd accepted him as a face, I mean, that really mirrors, or maybe the Progress story really mirrored that, is that his first defense in Progress when he won the championship, which is, I guess, we'll call that a spoiler, right, was against Zack, and they did the exact same thing. So with, as I said, Pete being such a big part of so many of the promotions that maybe got more buzz than OTT, what do you think it is about OTT that's kept it a little bit more under the radar for longer? Because I know, as I said, I had heard about it early on. I think I kind of checked out after watching a couple shows in a row that just weren't doing it for me at the price point. I just couldn't bring myself to continue to buy the video on demand for the amount of wrestling that I was getting. And then I think it was about last year, there was the three-way with Ospreay, Smile, and Dunn. And that's when I was kind of back in, okay, I'm going to pay attention to this as much as I can again. What was it about OTT you think that kind of had that dark period while Progress was growing, RevPro was growing, and OTT was kind of maybe growing just as much but didn't have the same buzz, was a little bit more under the radar?
Probably the lack of video distribution, right?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the only way you can see OTT is through their video on demand. I know they went to Flow Slam for those two shows, but like, if you're not paying to rent their show or buy their show, they don't give any freebies. You know, like most companies give a free match here and there, and really the only way you're going to know about OTT is through people chatting about it on Twitter or Facebook or message boards, and then if you buy the shows.
And it was really like, it took about 18 months before they even had the VOD up yeah, and running. I think there's been a lot of, I still don't think and I've said this to them, I still don't think, I haven't watched the most recent show, but up to the show previous to that, I still don't think the production is exactly what I would hope for from it. I don't think it captures the live atmosphere, and I don't think it captures the matches as well as it could. I would like them to use the hard camera more. I've said that to them because I feel it's such a tight, enclosed venue that the guys with the floor cams who are busting their ass and doing a great job, and it's tough as hell being out there, but they're in such a confined space that it's tough for them to kind of do what you need to do. I'm not an expert with these things, but I would imagine it's tough for them. So using their footage where they're limited in terms of their movement and stuff like that, and they have to be so close up to the ring. I'm someone more who likes to, when I watch wrestling, I like to be able to take in the full scene, and where they have the hard cam, it's like not ideal by any means, but I mean, I'd rather just see more of how it looks on the hard cam versus the footage from the floor. So there's that. The commentary has been okay. It's evolving. The guys doing it, I, to my knowledge, had never done wrestling commentary before. I could be wrong, but they do have experience in broadcasting, and they are good speakers, and they're getting there for sure. There's definite improvements from show to show. So there's that is. I'm someone who, ironic as it is, I'd prefer to watch wrestling with no commentary. But I do think having commentary on your show is an important thing to kind of seem like a big deal. So and the commentators do seem professional as well, which is important. So it's getting there. It's an evolving beast. I think this year, as the year rolls on, I think the shows and the output will improve as far as production goes. But as far as live, they've really made huge improvements in the last year to year and a half. The live production is fantastic now.
It's really good. They like even last show they had added like extra lights.
Yeah.
And, the screen they use for the video packages and stuff, they've redone that only in the last 2 months.
It used to be on the early shows they had like a projector screen or whatever, and like sometimes it would glitch and you'd see like the Windows background or whatever it would be, and there'd just be little things like that, and it was still very like primitive. But now it's like it's slick. It really is very, very slick, and they've done a great job. And it's a small venue, but it's they make the best out of it, and I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with the big venue in 2 months' time.
Have you guys only gone to shows at the and I don't know how to pronounce the name of the theater in Dublin? It's the
Tivoli.
I'm sorry, say that for me.
The Tivoli.
The Tivoli. Tivoli. Okay. Has that been the only place that you guys have gone to OTT shows at?
No, we went to some in the Spiegel Tent, which is part of the Dublin Fringe Festival.
A comedy festival. It's a bit of everything.
So it's a massive like circus tent. It looked really cool. Did you see any of the shows from the Fringe Festival?
Oh, I don't think I did, no.
Yeah, so they were inside a really, really nice looking tent. And they did a show there the last 2 years. And also we went to one in Wexford, which again was the speaking tent. It was a comedy festival, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Inside the same tent. And there only last week I went up to one of the shows in Belfast, which they seem to be running nearly every second month now alongside the Tivoli show. The next night they'll run Belfast venue.
Yeah, the Belfast is really becoming. So, Tim, you'd be you'd know your ROH history, would you? Or
yeah.
So you know how in ROH, like initially it was pure sort of Murphy Rec Center, Philly, East Coast promotion. And then they tried out a few different sort of B show towns for maybe double shots and stuff like that. But eventually Chicago like became their main sort of other town they would run. And that's kind of how it's been there for OTT, in that they've tried a bunch of different counties. Like they've gone to Limerick a good bit.
Limerick a few times. Yeah, they're going to go back there.
Yeah, Limerick's okay for them. They've gone to Limerick a good few times, especially earlier on. And this past year, they did Galway, they did Wexford. But they went up to Belfast, and they seem to have done very well in Belfast. Sarah was there last weekend. She thought it was very good. And I think it seems like Belfast is going to be the Chicago to Dublin's New York, Philly, if you're thinking in terms of ROH. So, if they have a clear sort of B-town, and Belfast is a big city in and of itself. So I think, I think that could be good for them. But, as far as Dublin goes, Tivoli is like the main venue. They, as Sarah said, they ran the Spiegel tent.
Every single month. Yeah. Right? Well, every month they do a show. There's always Dublin.
Yeah. We've had like 10 to 11 shows in the Tivoli every year since they started pretty much.
Oh, good stuff. So comparatively, I mean, what's the commute from say Dublin to the Belfast where they're having the show?
I did it on a bus last week with a friend. And it took about 2.5 hours to get up there, and then about 1 hour 50 minutes coming back because there was no traffic.
And did you see a lot of people that you think were doing the commute who you've seen at the Dublin shows were at the Belfast show?
Definitely not. When we go into the Dublin shows now, it's safe to say that we probably know maybe about a quarter of the people in there. Probably recognize the faces of half.
I'd say even more than half. Yeah, recognize just from going to the shows. Easily half you'd recognize the faces of. But when we have gone to the shows in the other counties,
Galway. Galway, a few people travelled.
A few people travelled
to Galway.
12 to 15 at most.
It was a bank holiday weekend as well, so people didn't have work the next day because the Belfast show and the Galway show, they're run on Sundays. So they're not the most convenient for people traveling if they've got work the next day. The Limerick show, they always run Limerick on a Friday, so I've never made one of them because I have to work on Friday. So.
That's so interesting to me to hear that, you know, a 2-hour bus ride is enough to where people wouldn't go to both shows. Because, I mean, out here for LA, because I live in like downtown Los Angeles area, going to a PWG show, a 2-hour drive is going to PWG. So it's just kind of, it's funny to think that it would be enough to kind of dissuade in Ireland for people going to one show or the other. But so you're seeing totally different crowds at Belfast than you see in Dublin. That's really, actually really a positive sign for the company, I would say.
Well, people drink a lot at the Tivoli show, so a lot of people will be very hungover the next day and making that journey.
As well, yeah.
You're not going to drive out if you're hungover, and you can take the bus and stuff. I think they're hoping more people from the Dublin crowd will show up, because there was a bit of chanting in the Belfast show, and it was fine. It was perfectly good, but it was nowhere near as crazy as a Tivoli show would be.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that Belfast show, because I did just finish the most recent Dublin show that was on the VOD, and I think it's the next night is the Belfast show, but I don't think it's on the VOD yet. But, you know, speaking of the VOD, which everyone can get just off of the Vimeo site, I kind of wanted to know, what's the mechanics of getting tickets to an OTT show, showing up to the venue, are you getting checked at the door, what's the neighborhood like, what's like kind of that part of it?
Getting the tickets has become increasingly more difficult. I'd say in the last maybe the last 6 shows, the VIP tickets, what should I call them, which are floor seats and stage seats with meet and greet options, they're selling out like on the first day now. They're selling out. I think the last one sold out in just a couple of minutes, 10 minutes maybe. So you really have to be quick to get those. Alan now, he'll take the GA tickets and he'll stand because he's quite tall. But for me, I think I need to get the seats most of the time. So the VIP tickets will go on the first day, first hour now, maybe first 10 minutes. Whereas the GA tickets will hang around a bit longer. They do seem to sell out before the day of the show now. So there's no tickets on the door anymore. And then just going in, I guess there's quite a big queue, isn't it?
Yeah, there used to be the queue would always be kind of a part of going to the OTT shows. But now the last couple of shows, they've started letting people in a good bit earlier. So by the time we've rocked up, people have already been let in. So we're able to go straight in because we're just arriving a bit later than most people. So
yeah, we arrived not even so late. We arrived maybe 45 minutes before bell time for the last show. And my friend Marie was inside already, and she was trying to hold us some seats because the seats are unreserved. You just kind of get a stamp that you are VIP and you go down. And she said she had arrived over an hour before bell time, and she struggled to get us. We wanted 6 seats together, and she was like, she could only get like 4 at the back and 2 at the front and stuff like that. And like everyone had already taken their seats. And by the time our last friends came in, like there were literally the only 2 seats left, and they were still well in before bell time.
And you asked about the neighborhood, Tim. Let me tell you, you're in the heart of Dublin City here when you go to the Tivoli. And as a result, you see everything from, like walking up and down that street, you'll see everything from dolled up people going in a night on the town to the real life equivalent of the Ward family riding down the street on horses. I shit you not. And you will see, it's you get all walks of life when you're
back street of Dublin City
Centre. Yeah, it's a back street of Dublin City Centre. There's a few pubs on the street. There's a couple of shops. It's you see a bit of everything there. I'd say if you stayed later into the night, you'd even see a bit more of everything. But it's fine. Like, I'm always comfortable leaving the car there. It's okay. I always get parking like right outside the venue. It's ideal. I really enjoyed that aspect of things because there's not much competition, not too many people driving to a show at the Tivoli. I think I'm the only person in the building who is a driven and who isn't.
Me and
Jamesy are the only two who have driven and who aren't plastered, I think, throughout the show. So it's pretty
it's easy accessible for public
transport. It's so accessible. It's right near all the main forms of public transport. You can get to it easily. It's like a short walk from the River Liffey and the quays in the center of Dublin. So it's it's an ideal stop. And it's these days, we kind of, by the time we arrive, we're able to walk right in, and you walk in and you kind of go through this initial kind of sort of passageway, and then you come out and
there's a room for VIP.
Oh yeah.
So there's a meet and greet room. I generally don't. I'll buy the VIP tickets just to get the stuff. But I won't bother with the
actual photo and
you get
meeting.
Like, professional photographs with that. Whatever's on the card, whatever inputs it.
Yeah.
They do professional photographs with the wrestlers?
Yeah, they've got their own camera guy. What's his name?
John Morrissey.
John Morrissey, he takes all the photographs for OTT.
Excellent photographer.
Yeah, he's a really good photographer. So he'll take your photograph with the wrestlers if you go into the room, and he puts them all up on Facebook then, I think about a week after the show. And they look really good. They always look, the photos are always not really nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get like a digital copy you set off of the Facebook, and that's for the VIP people.
Yeah, you go to Facebook and you get your photograph from there.
Okay, I was going to say, how are they? Are they developing them there in the theater? Or... that would be interesting.
That would be one extra headache that I don't think Joe needs on the show day.
Yeah, no. I've got so many. I'm like getting pulled in so many directions. I forgot what I wanted to what I want to talk about next, really, because I want to talk about. I mean, you gave me the surroundings, but kind of how it integrates into it, and also the theater itself. Because I was trying to look up the Tivoli somewhat, and I couldn't get a real grasp for it. From what I could tell, I couldn't tell if it was the same theater or if it was a different theater, but that it's been there for quite a while and it was shut down at some time.
Yep, it's been there for a long time. It would have been used a lot for, I know it's not a big thing in America, but in the UK and Ireland, the pantomimes are quite a big thing, especially around Christmas time. And the Tivoli would have been an old small panto venue that, pantos, for anyone that doesn't know, is the kind of, he's behind you kind of a form of entertainment, if you know what I mean. That kind of hokey, terribly acted plays that might have like
Irish celebrities.
You'll have like a celebrity, like someone from a boy band 20 years ago, or someone from one of the soaps that have been airing on TV for 50 years. So, it's used a bit for that. There'd be the occasional concert on in there. There's actually a lot of raves in there. Well, not a lot, I don't know, but there's been a few that have happened after OTT events. So we had to leave quite quickly, and you'd see the crew immediately start taking the ring down after the main event, because there was a rave about to start in like a half an hour time. So you get a bit of a mix.
It definitely sounds like an interesting part of town, with the guys going by on horses and quick, we need to end this wrestling show so we can start a rave. And that's in the same, so they're running like a rave in the same area. And is it the basement of the theater?
There's two, there's an upstairs and a downstairs, which I didn't actually even know about the upstairs until they did a Q&A an evening with Scott Hall last summer. And it was upstairs, and I was like, oh, okay, I didn't know there was this part of it. So it's basically two different styles of theaters. The downstairs one where the wrestling show is and where they set up the ring, like there is a stage there and there is seating. But then they've kind of a bigger, I suppose, a slightly bigger theater with more tiered seating.
Like the cinema type seating.
Yeah, more like a small
much
cinema.
Nicer upstairs.
Yeah, more like a small cinema upstairs, and it is a bit nicer. Downstairs is a bit more grimy.
The dance music.
Yeah, so it's but yeah, I would think the raves would definitely happen like literally where the ring was.
That's really interesting. And so the GA tickets are no seating, that's just standing room for GA?
Yeah, just standing room. There are a few scattered bar stools, which sometimes they sell and sometimes they don't. If they're not selling them, then you can sit there, but you'd have to be really early. I think like people are queuing up to 2 hours beforehand. It's getting a bit crazy.
That's what I was wanting to kind of get into next. And from my experience with PWG, which I know, it's funny that I would rather talk to you guys about OTT, and a lot of people would probably want to hear about PWG experiences, right? But for us, like it started out when I first started going, I would do the same thing as you guys, get there maybe 45 minutes before bell time, still be able to get in, still get a seat. And then it turns into earlier and earlier with people getting in line around noon, for a show that starts at 8 and the doors are supposed to open at 7, and it's next to like an old folks retirement home. So they'll kind of complain about the line getting too loud and stuff like that. So I wondered, the Tivoli and the line, I don't know if you guys have had any experience standing in a line, because you are saying that you're getting there later. Have you ever been there for the 2 hour in the queue time?
Not 2 hours, no.
I did over an hour when it was the Matter of Pride one, and I only got a ticket quite late. I think I got it on the day, maybe. And I could only get a GA ticket, so I needed to get in early so I could see. And we queued for about an hour. There's an off license right there, so we went in and we got cans of beer and we drank them in the queue, which seems to be a thing that people do.
Was I there? I don't remember.
No, you came later because you had a seat.
Smart.
Yeah, but we needed 2 seats, so it was lovely.
And so that's I mean, where are you guys waiting in line that it's allowed to just stand there drinking?
There's a pub across the road, which we went into for one drink. And then there's nothing really around. There's an off license, and they didn't mind because they were selling beer. And yeah, I think there's like apartments, is there?
It's not the type of street where anyone's going to be complaining that people are. I think people would be more uneasy if people weren't on the street drinking.
So it kind of integrates into the neighborhood fine, having people waiting in line, and even public drunkenness is accepted there, which, again, I've never been to Ireland, so I don't know.
Honestly, on a Saturday night in any part of Dublin city centre, you literally can't go 20 feet without seeing public drunkenness, so, yeah.
It's okay. People are well behaved, though. The wrestling fans are generally
You're not going to see fights or anything like that. Like it's, and you're not going to see like crazy shouting or it's reserved. Like people having a chat amongst their friends and drinking their beers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of control. And then I guess one of the final things I kind of wanted to talk about, I guess, because we're getting to that point. Just, it's important for me when I go to wrestling shows, and I'll go with like,
we need
my
to
wife.
Hit on the bathrooms, Tim, at some point. Just
definitely
so you know.
Do need to get on the bathrooms. But when I'm going to a wrestling show, and especially if I'm bringing my wife, I know like you want to know like what's in the area that's also cool. Like especially again for her, she loves going to record stores and stuff like that. Keith Harris told us about the chicken place across the street from York Hall once before on a different show. So, like, is there anything interesting and cool in the neighborhood? What's the closest kind of record shop or thrift store? Is there anything like that nearby the theater?
No, you can just walk into city center.
Yeah, like everything is like you are. As I was sort of stressing, you are right there in the middle of the city. So anything you want. Pretty much is within walking distance, so whatever you might want in terms of restaurants, chain stores, mom and pop stores, anything you could want is a stone's throw away.
It's
so
a 10-minute walk.
10-minute walk, yeah. 10-15 minute walk. There's definitely some nice restaurants around. Both before and after the show, we've got nice food and around the area. So
Okay. And then so we have to hear about these restrooms. Then what's the bathroom situation at the OTT?
Will I go first, or do you want to go first?
I'll go first. Mine normally involves kicking about 5 men out of the ladies' bathroom and going to the bathroom first, followed by icy cold taps, no soap, no hand dryers, and. Sometimes maybe a bit of toilet paper to dry your hands with. It's pretty rough.
Tim, I have now taken a strategic approach to the OTT bathroom situation. I deprived myself of water for a solid 4 to 5 hours before an OTT show, Tim, because I do not want to have to endure those bathrooms. Now, on the last show, I was just busy during the day and I didn't have time to put my tactics into play. So I realized I was rocking up to the show. I was like, oh, fuck, I need to go to the bathroom. And I was like, okay, well, at least I'm going at the start of the show, so it hasn't been just defouled by all these animals. So I walked in. It was actually all right. I was like, hey, you know, this actually isn't so bad early in the night. And but there was also a greeter there in the bathroom.
I can't believe this. You don't have one.
Yeah, it's something, I don't know, is that something you get in America a lot? The guy who sits in the bathroom for the night in a club or a bar, and he has like all the soaps and the deodorants and all this kind of stuff. It sounds a lot classier than it is.
Yes. It's never in the kind of place that I want to be at, number one. And number two, it's never as great in actuality as it comes across on paper.
No, certainly not. I don't know. But anyway, if there was a guy here doing this, I think I'd seen that once before a good while ago. But again, I haven't really been partaking in the bathrooms at OTT for the last few shows. So I know he might have been there for the last few. But I was surprised to see him, and came in handy because, as Sarah mentioned, there was no hand dryers or anything. But he had a nice big roll of blue kitchen roll, and he handed me some as I finished washing my hands in the cold water. And then I gave him a nice hearty 50-cent tip.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well, I think this might have to be it. I think, Alan, thank you for bringing that up, because I think you have now created what's going to become my new closing segment for every episode of this show, because the bathrooms, I guess, are important to any event, right? You got to know about the bathrooms, and bathroom at wrestling events seem to be some of the most tragic bathroom situations you'll ever experience. So
I will say that WXW in Germany, some nice bathroom situations.
I'm not surprised. A good friend of mine just moved to Berlin recently, and she constantly is telling us about how well-mannered and respectful everybody is, so I'm not shocked by that, honestly.
People are just, they just kind of treat it like they would treat their own home bathroom, I think, really is all to it, so, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. Again, this is coming from America. This is our way to fly around the world without worrying about getting stopped on the way back home. We get to check out OTT through talking to you guys about it. Otherwise, thank you so much for doing the show. And I don't know if there's any stuff in particular you guys want to plug, but feel free.
Oh, I have a hearty list, I'm sure. See what I can remember. Brand new DKP show just went up today. At f4wonline.com, wrestlingobserver.com. It is my regular podcast that I do with a whole host of individuals who drop in from time to time. This was the start of our Road to WrestleMania series. Everyone's favorite, Justin Shapiro. If you've never experienced Justin on the podcast airwaves, he's been doing it since the mid-2000s with Joe Gagne and on my show since 2009. And Justin is a hilarious man, and we're joined by Dave Ryan, another hilarious man, for the first time for this year's Road to WrestleMania, and it is full of hijinks but also some good solid pro wrestling WWE discussion. But the DKP, we do, I pride myself on it being the most varied wrestling podcast. We'll touch on WWE, we'll touch on World of Sport, like old World of Sport, we'll talk Japan, we'll talk Mexico from time to time, bit of everything on the DKP. I do articles for Fighting Spirit magazine, which is available at WH Smith's in the UK and Eason's here in Ireland, and also at fightingspiritmagazine.co.uk if you want to subscribe digitally. And where else? Twitter, Alan4L, and commentary for WXW at wxwnow.de. So, that is everything for me. You?
I'm just going to plug my Twitter. You can follow me at Scanelli, that's S-C-A-N-E-L-E-E. I go to a lot of wrestling shows. I go to probably shows every weekend, so I live tweet them.
She's one ahead of me, Tim.
I'm one ahead of you this year.
I don't think I'm going to catch up.
Whether it be OTT, Progress, Rev Pro, WXW. I just live tweet the shows, so if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that, and I don't have anything else.
Ah, yeah, Sarah's a great follow on Twitter. I can, attest to that. The other thing, I don't know, the Voices of Wrestling reviews of the OTT shows, is that going to start up again soon, or anything about that, or no?
No. I think they've got somebody else who's going to take it over.
Okay, I was enjoying yours, so, I understand if you're not able to do it anymore, that's fine.
She wasn't.
I don't blame you. I was the same way. I've kind of stepped back from doing any written reviews as well, so... I'm right there with you in that regard.
I wanted to do them at the start because nobody was covering it. I thought somebody should be, but I didn't actually enjoy it. It was taking me far too long.
It was painstaking. She'd like watch the shows three times, Tim. I'm like, you really don't need to watch it. And she'd like second guess every word she was writing. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was no fun. Really awesome.
Compared to me, who, whatever I'm doing, be it commentary, writing, or podcasting, it's so... like I'm Mr. One Take. That's not me claiming that I'm good or anything, and that I can do things well in one take. I'm only bothered to do something once. It's like, if it's not good enough the first time, well, fuck it. So yeah.
I do also want to say though that we didn't really touch on it, but like I've been to wrestling shows all over the world, be it in Japan, America, Germany, England, and honestly, the OTT fans are the craziest.
All right, hey. That's not that's not too shocking. From what I can see from the crowd, they seem to go nuts. Just this last show, yeah, there was a lot of amazing reactions. Well, again, thank you guys so much, and I guess that's it. The show's just over.
Next on a beat with my elbow and my knee.